My name is Quinn Mitchell, and this is Into the Tussle. Today, we will be interviewing Congressman Ro Khanna on a variety of issues, including his bipartisanship, the New Hampshire primary, and Gen Z. Stay tuned.
Thanks for coming on, Congressman.
Of course.
Thank you. Can we start off by, you know, just telling my viewers a bit about yourself, what district you represent, you know, how long you've served in Congress, and, you know, what you enjoy most about public service?
Well, I represent Silicon Valley in Congress. I've been in Congress 8 years. I'm the son of immigrants. My grandfather spent years as part of Gandhi's independence movement. My parents came here in the 70s. I was born in Philadelphia. And I love the part of public service of helping other people, making sure people have the chance in this country that I did. Of making sure our country stands up for human rights and justice around the world.
That's great. You know, obviously, I just saw you a couple of weeks in New Hampshire. You're up here all the time. I think one of our newspapers labeled you as our, you know, quote unquote, fifth congressman, which I concur with. My question to you is, you know, how do you respond to, you know, criticism that, you know, New Hampshire does not represent the Democrat Party in terms of diversity? And, you know, that has been one of the main criticisms in its removal as a First in the Nation.
I think New Hampshire is a wonderful state. First of all, it's growing increasingly diverse. There's a huge Latino community here, Asian American community, Bhutanese community, African American community. So I think that the future of the state is incredibly diverse. Second, the people in New Hampshire take their civic duties very seriously. They do their homework. They show up. It's a small place where you can really get to know people and are substantively challenged. And finally, you have to look at diversity in the broader context. And that means all of the states together. And when you look at New Hampshire, paired with the South Carolina and Nevada and Michigan, you really have the broad diversity of the country and Democratic Party.
Yeah, I think New Hampshire's civic engagement is quite incredible, just being, you know, in the state and attending events all these years. You know, so when I'm Googling your name, Congressman, you know, dozens of interviews with MAGA figures, you know, such as Byron Donalds and many others will show up, which is very rare for, you know, someone like, you know, someone in the Democrat Party to do that with those type of figures. So, you know, bipartisanship and reaching out to the other side in politics seems very important to you. So my question is, you know, as someone who makes the effort to engage with the other side, you know, do you agree with messaging, you know, such as, you know, a basket of deplorables, as Clinton put it, or weird as Vance put it, or weird as Walls put it? And do you think this sort of messaging is beneficial for the country?
I believe we need to treat the voters on the other side with respect. Nicholas Kristof had a great piece in the New York Times saying that. You know, Bill Clinton talked about going and talking with respect with people you disagree with and explaining the honest disagreements at the Democratic convention, and then laying out our vision for how we're going to bring this country together and why our policies are better. That, to me, is a much better way of governing. It's a way of bringing this country together. It's a way of being a majority party. We can attack Vance and Trump on their policies. I mean, they're diminishing and taking away reproductive rights. They're not doing anything for gun safety. They're taking away voting rights. But we shouldn't attack voters themselves.
Do you think this sort of messaging will reach the middle ground in politics? Do you think it will turn them off? Would you suggest Harris to, you know, use this sort of messaging and then debate, you know, next week?
Well, I would say to stick to the policies, stick to the issues, talk about how Donald Trump appointed three justices who took away the right to an abortion, how he's going to be voting in Florida for a ban on abortion, basically upholding the 6-week ban. Talk about his policies on Project 2025 that could, many of those people could end up helping be part of a Trump administration. I think she should focus on the issues and what those Project 2025 calls for, cutting the Department of Education, rolling back labor protections. But I think if we stick to the issues, we have the best chance to win.
Thank you so much. So, you know, sort of as just a final question, since I know you got to run, I'll keep it short. You know, let's think of a common Gen Z voter. you know, maybe a voter who cannot find affordable housing, feels that the future is already settled for worse in terms of climate change and political instability, and just really isn't excited to show up in November as they feel that their vote does not matter. What would you say to this voter?
I'd say the future is yours to build. The parties are yours to help lead, and you can make a difference. And we need to have policies that are bold in building new housing and helping people to get down payment assistance to get a house, and making college free and vocational education free, and forgiving student debt, in taking action to build solar, wind, geothermal, hydro, and getting rid of fossil fuel subsidies. And the younger generation can be part of that, part of the solution of revitalizing this country and the American dream. And my hope is with the younger generation. So I can't wait till the younger generation takes over, but I don't want them starting at a huge deficit. And that's why we've got to win this election, defeat Trumpism, so that your generation has a chance to really make a great difference in the world.
Hey, Congressman, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.